than Oregon interests, wouldn't you say?
Well, that's true. I would just love to have the people in the Midwest and different places see what we're trying to do out here and realize that it's all coming our way.
Well, we have to tell our own story, and that's what social media and our websites and everything else, we have to tell the story and grow that and share it. If you're going to depend on Damian Mann or someone from the from the TV stations to tell the story, you're probably going to be waiting in vain. Would that be fair? Okay, and I don't mean to be I'm not being defeatist when I say that. I'm talking about reality.
I was going to throw something in, if you don't mind.
Okay, yeah, Nick, Mr. X is going to throw something in here. Go ahead.
One of the things that I noticed, and I've talked with different folks about it over the years, what we have to do collectively is establish an organizational, tier of responsibility. And somebody's responsibility has to be to issue a press release of what you're doing. The problem that we have is that nobody issues a press release to notify them of what is actually happening, whereas the left is constantly issuing press releases. So they have a coverage aspect.
We get it all the time.
That's right.
I get press releases from the left all the time. The right does something, and they're just expecting that the media will show up.
That's right. And that's the thing we have to do. It's a learning curve. It's a process of understanding our enemy. It's understanding the people that are out to harm us. But we have to look at it and say, what do they employ to get this across? And one of the things that we have to do is you have to find someone, write a suitable press release, a realistic, real-time press release, issue it to the major news agencies, and tell them what it's going to be happening and the why and the wherefore of it.
Yeah, so that's part of it, Nick, and that's an organizational curve that we have to really get up to speed on. I appreciate the call, and thanks for letting us know, because now I'm going to look, now that you've given me sort of a press release there, Nick, I'm going to look into it and find out more, okay?
Are you on Tim or Unity website on Facebook, Bill?
I think I am. I'm on all sorts of groups. I'll have to take a look, and if I'm not, I will, okay? Thanks for the call, Nick.
Okay.
All right?
You bet. Thank
all right.
you.
All right, so about a month from now. And I know that State Senator Herman Bertschiger wants me to come up and do a broadcast some morning out there. And I'm wondering if it's going to be during that period.
That
but he wants me to come up.
That would be excellent timing for
him. Yeah. So we'll see how that works. 7:39, Mr. X, a citizen activist. By the way, his website is MRX Files. And we're going to talk about various articles this morning that have to do with the wildfire smoke and management issue that, of course, Governor Brown, as you know, we've talked last year, about how the plan is to just do more of the prescribed burning. Well, it's interesting. We're going to start off with a PSA. This is an online PSA. I don't know if this came from ODF or where it was, but they're promoting prescribed burns.
ODF. Yeah.
Yeah, you think it's ODF? Is that where this is? Okay, let me see if I can get this playing for it. And we'll skip the first 2.5 minutes or so, but listen very carefully to some of the language.
Here's the catch. Smoke from prescribed burning is regulated by the government, but megafire smoke is not. Many land managers would like to do more prescribed burning each year. However, due to the current interpretation of air quality laws, these prescribed burns are often not allowed to happen, even if the forest treatments have been piled up and the crew is standing there ready to go. Smoke is smoke, right? Shouldn't those air quality laws give us the least amount of smoke? If we choose to do more prescribed burning and live with a relatively small amount of smoke, we can prevent more large and destructive megafires and the big smoke that comes with them. What's lacking is the social license to conduct more prescribed burns in our forests and rangelands.
Oh, my goodness. Did you hear that? What is lacking is the social license.
That's right.
To fill the skies with smoke all the time.
That's right.
Isn't that essentially what he's saying?
Well, you know, these are the points that this is exactly how the smoke was literally stopped. Is that we remove the social license for them to keep doing what they were doing. Because I am not saying that prescribed burning is bad, okay? I am saying that prescribed burning during fire season is a ridiculous thing. And the concept of using natural ignitions to allow for prescribed burning if there's an existing prescription plan. These are the things that were happening. This is what was going on.
Now, let me interject here. What you just described there has been what the shorthand is, let it burn.
Right.
The let it burn plan. because all of the public lands managers have a burn plan on their land which they say, hey, we would like to burn the understory or get the stuff off there. And so what happens is that in the summertime, you'd get a lightning strike or some form of ignition that would then start it. And remember, we talked about how on some of those fires, the lightning struck, and then the fire started in Josephine County. I forget, was that that was Klondike, I think?
No, Klondike was further south.
Here. Further south, okay. But anyway, I remember that people would talk about, all right, the lightning strike happened here, and then they draw a big box around it.
Klondike.
I think it was the Klondike.
It was the Klondike.
Yeah, they draw a big box around it, and then the fire bosses just let it kind of, well, we're going to let it burn throughout here.
And all of a sudden, you have 200,000 acres, and we live for months with smoke. So, you know, and this, the reason that I'm going there, okay, and I don't want to go there too much, but I want you, those are recent memories that we can all relate to. Every aspect of this, we can relate to. But what it all relates to that we have to focus on, and the subject that we're here to talk about today is upcoming for this next year, folks. We have to get public input. We have to get involved, and we have to give public input. We have to give our statements. There are things coming up that will be very important decisions for us to make as a region. You have coming up at the beginning of the month, I think in February, will be one for the jail. And the, you know, these different parts of it that they're going to have are all set up right now to take in public comment. If we stay active, we can do something. The, you know, when I break it down, like what's been in the news the past few weeks is Australia. Bill and I were talking about this, and you know, the biggest part, the statistics were amazing to me because there's like 50 or 60,000 fires a year in Australia in the bushfire.
And what I wanted to weigh in here in what is being pushed here has been the gangrene climate change meme, that it's climate change and drought which has caused this. Of course, what is not being mentioned is that, you know, over 200 people have been arrested for setting these fires.
That's exactly
right. Because they've had a rash of arsons in the bush, too. Now, that's not creating more of an intensity of the fires, but we also have to remember that, yeah, we've had an arson problem. That's not a climate change problem.
That's
so you
exactly
have a, so you have a law enforcement issue. And you also have to remember that Australia has signed on to the same gangrene let it burn policy, which has been pushed in the United States, which we have been fighting in Southern Oregon. And a lot of people don't realize that. And that's sort of the long and the short of it. Would that be fair to say, Mr. X?
Right here, Bill. This is the Australian Wildfire Management Plan, okay? This is the equivalent to what we had, the 1995 plan that we tore apart and gleaned all of this information from. And the reality comes down to is it's an intrusion by people, okay? All of these fires, all of these problems, I have document after document here of breaking it down, the learning curves and everything. But these are from Australian people that have gone in and looked at it realistically. There's been more rainfall. It's been wetter in Australia the past few years than they know. And they keep blaming climate change. But yet you look at it and the fires are man-made and on most part. I mean, you have a huge number, 85%, I think, were caused by some man-made type thing. I've got to go back and glean the actual parts of it there for it. But the truth to it is that public input, because each one of these comes up with the same thing is that these people did not understand the necessity of giving the right comment because the policy was to allow management of their lands through introducing fire. Okay, so fine, let's introduce fire. Let's have some type of control over what fire actually is and the times of year that it's allowed to be used.
So taking it back then to the PSA that we were playing in, which the social license to pollute, and he's saying that, that wildfire smoke is not controlled by the law, but controlled burning is. And he says that the pollution laws should, in other words, what he's advocating for is a active loosening of the pollution laws right. so that people have to suffer more instead of suffering in the summer. They're claiming that to suffer in the fall and the spring, big times, will solve the problem, is what he's saying.
Well, now bear in mind, his philosophy in that PSA, you have to break it down and you have to logically deduce certain things and reality-based thinking. He's coming at it from an idea of a landscape philosophy where there is no productive use of the forest at all.
And so is Governor Brown's wildfire response.
That's right. Every aspect of this takes it down to a square one thing of making it a vacation mecca that, for some reason or another, we don't get all of the vacationers coming because it's burning. Okay?
Right.
So reality check comes in. We have to stay involved because these are government decisions. But they're introducing collaborative governance in to the makeup of how the decision-making process is made. Collaborative governance takes you to policy. Policy is not law. It's their policy to introduce fire and their policy to let things burn. It's their policy to say that every aspect of it is, and they want to sell us on the idea that they're correct. Because there's big money for these groups to do it. So as we move
now
ahead,
let me interject here. That's the grant stream funding process.
That's right.
In which you see millions of dollars of checks written from the federal and or state government right. to collaboratives that then go to what they will call thinning and or prescribed burns.
That's right.
Which is what that young man was talking about in that PSA.
And my whole thing is okay, if you're going to take money, now this comes through what they call the Healthy Forest Restoration Act. There's a whole background of legislation in a funding stream that allows for this collaborative thing to go ahead and guide and steer and do all of the work that they want to do. But their big thing is they have constructed and a plan to burn 4 million acres here locally, okay? Reality comes in. I don't believe they're correct. I believe that their plan is flawed. I'm a citizen. I'm a productive citizen. You're a productive citizen. We have a viewpoint. We need to exercise that viewpoint. And whenever we get a chance on a public hearing, we need to go. We need to take that time and go because your family depends upon it. Your children depend upon it. Everybody depends upon it. We have to start breaking it down where we're involved in our own future.
Now, Mr. X, let me reiterate what the governor's wildfire proposal, the report which came out, is just doing more of what we've already been doing,
right.
which is more prescribed burning. And the assumption, in fact, we even looked through the report, is that there's very little focus on any kind of real increase of harvest and actual mechanical removal of the biomass, which is growing at these exponential rates because nobody harvests anything.
When you look at the sum of the information out of Australia, it's summed up by people in saying that the green people protested the early efforts to try to control the rapid growth of the fuel. Okay. It's the same thing here. It's the same thing in the entire aspect. So what is happening? Well, there's a large, uninformed group of people that react emotionally, that want certain heartfelt desires, not practical desires and reality-based desires. They're just heartfelt of, oh, we have to take great care with this. We have to do this. We have to. No, the reality is fire, it will never change. It's a triangle. You need fuel, oxygen, and a source of ignition. And now they say it's heat. Well, okay, you can say heat is ignition, but usually it requires a particular form of heat, which is a lightning strike. Is a natural form, a tossed cigarette butt, a campfire going awry.
Dragging chains like we saw
dragging
on one
chains,
of those.
All of these of things are there, and we have to understand that the climate aspect of it is does it only creates conditions for fire. It doesn't cause the fire. And they are saying, a large part of the other side is saying, oh, climate change is fueling these problems. And
well, it helps buttress, or at least they're using it as the stalking horse for,
that's right,
for their sustainable development,
right,
push.
Exactly. And their sustainable development push is to burn and bring it back to a natural setting.
At the same time, they're claiming, though, that we're not supposed to be burning anything, including fossil fuels,
right,
because it causes climate
That's
change.
Exactly right.
It's very, very interesting. Now,
it's a level of hypocrisy, Bill, that I cannot stomach anymore.
All right. Now, going back to speaking of the, well, we can't do anything with the forests. Now, we also must free the rivers, too. This is the other push. In
That's
fact,
right.
I think you brought in a... an article here about, wasn't this the one that you were talking about? Yeah, here we go. This was an article about the clean energy bill.
Right.
Remember, you want to touch on some of that, or did you want me?
Well, if you want to, I would gladly do it, because what I wanted to do was I was going to tie that into it later on, but
okay.
That's okay.
No, if I interject it, please tie it together.
I'll just kind of do it in a reverse order here.
Okay,
that's
all right, please do. Please do
this
that.
Is
I'm
an
sorry,
article,
I didn't mean to mess you
well,
up here.
No, that's
all
okay.
Right.
This is an article that came in under Oregon Live, and it was written, but there was a quote in it that I want people to understand and relate to, okay? And this is how we have to discern information and look at the realities, because what I'm going to read you is part down in this about California. And it says, the good news was that California announced it had reached its 2020 carbon emissions reduction goal 4 years early through a strong focus on clean energy jobs and investments. Critics disagree. In 2009... California experienced a single year 28 million metric ton emissions drop due to a plunge in economic activity following the 2008 recession.
So, hey, yay for the recession, because the climate is saved, because carbon dioxide was not emitted, right?
Then it goes on. It says in 2016, the state experienced a single year 12 million metric ton emissions drop following flooding not seen in the state in almost a century. The severe flooding caused a 300% increase in hydroelectric power use for that year. Is that a use of clean energy? Absolutely. But a sustainable result? Questionable. Okay. But I look at that and I start, you know, it kind of makes me laugh, because Oregon, our governing bodies keep saying that they, and I shouldn't say our governing bodies, our actual state government is always saying they want to follow California's lead. Well, if they're following California's lead in that instance, well, what are they doing? They're starting off with a lie. Uh-huh. And then they're using the lie to try to produce and taxation and revenue streams from us based upon a falsehood and not addressing the reality of the truth.
And they're also then saying we're reaching carbon reduction by destroying the economy.
That's right.
It's right.
That's exactly right.
And hey,
you
destroy the economy and we'll save the planet.
When you go into this and you look at it, it's almost comical. But when you start reviewing across the board all of these different things and you start putting it together, and I was focusing on the Australian thing just to give people what's in the current news. We're not having any fires right now, but there's another place in the world that is, but it's being pushed by the same forces that we have during the summertime.
It's being managed by the same kind
that's
of
right.
policy.
And that's the thing, our public input. One of the things that comes out in reviewing the Australian documents is the idea of public input has to be there. Now, they also go into the famed stakeholder lines. They listen to the stakeholders. They listen to this. Well, that's a method, in how I define it, is how they falsify the true means of public input. They organize it so that the public really doesn't comment or have involvement, but the stakeholder groups do. And all of a sudden, the official policy is now X, Y, Z, and we're going to do this. And now they suffer for it.
Because the people are not really considered for input. It is the stakeholders.
That's right.
Now, the stakeholders tend to be self-selected, politically left-oriented environmental groups, such
That's right.
as the Sierra Club and the World Wildlife Federation, places like that.
I sent you a couple of videos, and they were videos in university people, and it's actually what I would term is what Patrick Wood defines. It's the technocrats. It's the people in the background that are pushing the environmentalists, that are enabling the environmentalists to have this through the collaborative governance part of it, because they create this type of atmosphere in the background. And they push every level of this, and it is staggering. When you watch those videos, it will turn your stomach when you see the admissions of what they're doing. And when I look at this and when I start taking it apart, this is the battle. The battle is these people sit in the background collaborating with other universities. All of these things come out of a collaboration amongst the academics at the universities. Well, our system of government was designed.
Hey, we're supposed to be setting the policy.
That's right.
Not the university.
That's right.
Not the university collaborators.
Now, when they're setting policies that have long-term harmful effect on us, and they're ignoring our actual needs, necessities, wants, and demands, what do we have? We don't have the form of government that we thought we did, but it's our fault because we have to pay attention. We have to take this type of thing, take it apart, and understand how they did it, which is what I've done.
All right.
All I've done is put together all of the bits of information and give people a line of sight so they can make a decision and be involved.
Okay. Now, Mr. X, we're out of time this time. We'll have you back on, and especially as we get closer to the Jackson County Jail public input section, because we're going to hear from a lot of stakeholders. You know, it's going to be the same sort of thing where stakeholders groups will be coming in rather than actually paying attention to what the people have to say about what they would like to see.
Well, it's
in
like
their situation.
Every aspect of this coming up, we're going to have one heck of a year, folks. And I took a little bit of a break so I could get ready for it. The reality coming up is we have to watch our legislature every moment to make sure they're not going to try to sneak something in. We have to look at it. We have to start making realistic demands based on these principles and start the process that they understand that they're not going to do something. And when we get there, it's about our benefit is how they're supposed to be conducting themselves.
And we have to be focused on what is the benefit to the people.
That's
and
right.
So much of what the legislature is looking to do this time around has nothing to do with benefit. It has to do with political agendas and stakeholder input. And I'm out of time, okay?
That's all right.
I'm just out of time this particular time. But what I'm going to do is post all the links you've given me for reading material, and I hope that you do it, too, on mrxfiles.com.
It will be done.
Okay, mrxfiles.com, mrxfiles.com. Mr. X, we'll have you back, and we'll talk about maybe crafting some public comment on jails and various other projects which are coming up, okay?
We'll work on that and the others that come, Bill.
All right, Shade Before 8 at KCMD and